Although the world is filled with suffering, it is also filled with people overcoming it. That comes to us from Helen Keller. And today on the dojo, we're going to get into suffering. That's what the dojo is all about. It's not always easy, but necessary. Welcome to it. So suffering, not the most engaging word that many people would want to hear, one that obviously might repel people and not want to get into what it's all about. But for the purposes of this dojo, at least, using suffering as maybe a catch-all word that could mean a lot of different things. It could mean anxiety, it could mean stress, it could mean depression, it could mean loneliness, it could mean, a lot of different things. And so in this episode, I wanted to have a discussion and some of just thoughts that I've have around the topic of suffering. And one of the things that really is the impetus for this episode is some of the personal and professional observations that I've had recently. I guess to zoom out, in the world nowadays, we can see a lot of it, right? And a lot of us are living it, the pandemic. It's caused an immense amount of widespread suffering on so many different levels. We look at, inequities, especially around, disability. There's a lot of suffering that happens with that. The inflation that is going on and the economic challenges that people are going through. The events that are going on in the world today are just so much suffering that is happening. And that we can see, and that is on full display. I had already planned for this dojo, and I just got out of an interview that we're going to be airing in the coming weeks with Deborah Koch. She's the executive director for the Red Cross here in Florida, and she said the mission of the Red Cross is to alleviate human suffering. And of course, they're activated during human and man-made disasters. And so that's part of their mission. And I thought it was serendipitous that here I am, going to get into an episode about suffering, and there she is right before I do this, coming out of an interview where that was a topic that we got into. What I've also seen recently, more so now that our center is starting to serve more people in person and connecting more now with our consumers instead of just, virtually, is that we're meeting a lot of people that are having way more complicated needs than ever before on levels that are just way more than we've ever seen as well. And it's just very hard because oftentimes with these more complexities, more needs, more people with those kind of needs, it's hard when we can't meet all the needs of the people that are coming through our door. And our staff takes this on as well. And it's something that, I'm seeing in our staff, and it's hard. It's always hard work that we do in serving people. But more than ever, I'm finding that, is it the people that we're serving, but it's our staff themselves that are working in harder situations than ever before. And I care, and we care for each other. We're drawn to this field because of the compassion we have for others. And so oftentimes for people with, especially the that are in the human service arena, we can take this on, and it could be something that we also too got to be sensitive towards. And so I'm seeing this more in our staff. I'm seeing this more in the people that we serve. And in particular, we've had, one staff member pass away less than a month ago, a wonderful person who had just an amazing heart, very kind, very gracious. And it's been tough on all of us. And there was a former staff member that we learned this week that some people were still keeping in contact with, an amazing person who is just very funny and animated, passed away. In my own personal life, there's a family member that's close to me and that I care about a lot who just recently lost her mother. And I'm recording this a few days away from Mother's Day, and that's going to be a very hard day for her. It's not one necessarily that's going to be of celebration this time around. So these are some of the observations and experiences that I've had regarding the world, regarding the people that we serve, regarding the people that are serving them in my own personal life. And in some, this is why I think it's an important topic to address here on the dojo, for me, I look at this in terms of, you know, how can suffering be something that we learn and grow from, and can be something that can, you know, lead to a better, more fulfilling life. When I look back on my past experiences, whether it's death of people that I've loved and have had time to process it, whether it's divorce, separation of, you know, relationships that have been very close to me, my own disability, past injuries that I've had, suffering that, you know, close people that I love and care about that they've gone through. With the passage of time, I can certainly see how those experiences have helped to, you know, fortify me. Some of them have put me in better places in my life than I would have ever imagined had I not gone through them. And with the passage of time and reflection, I can say, like, wow, it was good that I went through those experiences, and that suffering led to me being in a better place and giving me certain values or virtues and knowledge that I wouldn't have had otherwise having gone through them. Even though I can be aware of that, while going through current, you know, present moment suffering, it can at times for me feel like, well, I don't get it. Why is it? It seems senseless to even now be processing some of the passings of people that I know, and, you know, seeing the state of affairs of the world that we're in, not being in a place where we can meet all the needs of the people that we have, encumbering some of the stress that others are going through. It can be very difficult to understand, like, why do we have to go through this? Why is this so necessary? Even though I have these experiences to draw from to say that there is purpose in this. And so one of the quotes I do like, I don't know who it came from, says that the purpose of life is to find fulfillment, something so fulfilling that we forget that the meaning of life is suffering. And when the Buddha was asked, you know, what is enlightenment? He said, the end of suffering. Didn't describe what enlightenment is and described it, but described enlightenment in terms of the negation of what it is not. It's the end of suffering. And the path towards the end of suffering is the purpose of life, is to move beyond that. And not to get super religiosity, but to me, I find these teachings within Buddhism to be very more philosophical for me. And that's how I kind of approach it. But I think it points to, you know, for me, some of the root causes of my own suffering. And, you know, some of that has to do with attachment to things that are finite. You know, the universe is constantly changing. The one constant in life is change. And a lot of times I'm wanting things to stay the same. I don't want my kids to get any older. They're at a precious age. I want to keep that constant. I don't want my health to change if I've got good health. Some of the relationships that are doing well right now, I don't want that to change. But you know what? Life changes. The planet still, you know, keeps spinning, and it goes around the sun. It doesn't stop. You know, relationships will ebb and flow, and things will change. And my attachment to, you know, keeping things the same is certainly a source of stress. And that attachment to it, and not knowing myself or not being at peace with perhaps who I am, is another source of stress. You know, when we had those episodes about who am I, why are we here, why am I here, the less clear I am on those questions, the more I suffer. And so gaining clarity can help. But at the same time, you know, if I'm not, you know, have those answers of the who am I, that's a big question. Being okay with that and being at peace with it, being at peace with my non-peace. Because sometimes I'm not at peace with my non-peace, then, you know, that's just, how do I get beyond that? So I'm not at peace with not having peace without getting too much of a tailspin on that one. There's no really room to grow and to evolve, and that's just a trap of suffering, certainly. Where I also see a lot of suffering is, you know, separation and division in our culture nowadays, where we're dividing ourselves based on political affiliations, or, you know, our points of view on the pandemic, or whether, you know, what religion or non-religion that we associate with, whether our views and attitudes, you know, about race or sexual orientation are dividing us too. For me, I feel like that is a big, big place where a lot of people are suffering nowadays. It's breaking families, it's breaking friendships. It's, you know, even people that don't know each other are seeing separation and seeing one another as the other. And this division is very hard, because at the end of the day, fundamentally, we need each other. And the more we divide ourselves from each other and we don't see ourselves in other people, the more we're going to suffer. And there's so many things out there that are more than ever, I think arguably of all of humanity, we got more forces tearing us apart than bringing us together than ever before. And therein lies, I feel like, the need to come together and to be united. And so when, you know, beyond, you know, just like thinking about things in, you know, from a spiritual context, this to me is more of an evolutionary biological context, because many evolutionary psychologists will say that we need each other to survive. We need each other to survive in the material world. But we also, you know, are wired that way physiologically. Our nervous system and the hormones of oxytocin that get produced when we do come together and we do bond are meant to bring each other together. And, you know, that we're social beings, and our number one need is to be accepted by one another. Our number one fear is to be rejected by one another. And having compassion for that, I think compassion really unlocks the suffering that can go on from this division. But, you know, again, this is going towards maybe even the psychology of suffering. The negative impact of suffering can cause trauma, you know, post-traumatic stress disorders that right now are being seen just from the pandemic. And some of the bad coping skills, you know, that we have regarding division and suffering and things like that, you know, and how much can that explain the alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use and the addictive behaviors of social media and video gaming and, you know, throwing ourselves into binge watching, distracting ourselves from the suffering that we're going through are very prevalent. And a lot of these things are very accessible, which further exacerbates the social isolation and the division that can be causing that. So, you know, how are we coping with some of the suffering that we're going through? I think is a huge thing, because when we look at some of the things that are happening out there in the world and how we can really come together, I think about, I don't know if you remember the plane crash on the Hudson River, where the pilot, who became known as Sully, landed a plane, no one was killed, on the Hudson River, but a very traumatic experience, where they'd done research on the survivors of this plane crash and found that some of the people have gone on to live a life that has been more fulfilling, more rewarding, and some have not, where their lives have gotten worse, have gotten divorced, have struggling with, you know, dependency issues or to substances. What separates these groups together? One, they're each all exposed to trauma, but people respond differently, where that, you know, experience led to, you know, a deterioration of their life, where others grew from it. So there's this concept of post-traumatic growth from perhaps, you know, even the events that are going on nowadays, where people are going to get better having gone through a pandemic, where people may get worse from coming out of the pandemic, and how important this is, you know, to really think about so that we make the right choices. You know, we can use this as the opportunities, this crisis, for our growth, or we could use it to not get better and find meaning and purpose in this suffering. You know, Viktor Frankl, you know, wrote the book, The Man's Search for Meaning. You know, he wrote this from the context of being somebody that was, you know, victim of the Holocaust, you know, in World War II, like one of the worst human experiences in humanity that I know about. He actually found meaning and purpose within the suffering of going through the concentration camps. And he wrote an amazing book about how that suffering led him to understand the meaning of life and existence and fulfillment in it. I so highly recommend that book. But the whole takeaway from that book is that, yes, suffering isn't a pleasant thing to go through, but it is the pathway to becoming better versions of ourselves through meaning and fulfillment of it. And research does show that when we are exposed to trauma or negative emotions, there is a way they can serve us. And again, this could be an evolutionary purpose to it. So when we go through traumatic events that lead to negative emotions, you know, our ability to work harder and smarter increases. Research shows that we become more realistic of our situations that we're in. We may see, you know, the situations that we're in for really what it is, versus when people are happy, they're less likely to see the reality of the situations that they're in. That going through hard events, like going to a gym, makes us stronger and fortifies us for the next event that is going to happen, that comes into our life, that challenges us and ultimately leads to more suffering. It gives us the tools and ability to be able to be more resilient for it. It can increase our empathy that we have for one another as well, and relatability to other people. You know, research has shown that people that have, you know, gone through very tough events, that are going through circumstances which causes this suffering, you know, allows them to have more empathy for other people, especially people that might go through similar situations, and then puts them in a place to be able to relate with them and actually maybe even help them through the experiences that they're going through. It allows us the opportunity to become more emotionally agile in navigating negative feelings. There can be so many amazing things in terms of growth that can come out of suffering. I think one of the most important things is that compassion, you know, for one another. It unlocks the reason that we go through what we're going through. As I was saying earlier, in the present moment, as I'm suffering, it can be very hard for me to understand the why to this. And when I'm going through present moment suffering, I can often feel that like no one else out there is going through this, knowing and feeling the way that I am, the dark night of the soul, it can feel so lonely. And I've heard this from other people that oftentimes are feeling disconnected and isolated because of the suffering, where in fact, no, many people have gone through and are going through what we're going through, and realizing again that don't divide ourselves in that way. It's another separation of ourselves from other people. Again, another root cause of our suffering is thinking, you know, or separating ourselves from other people. And when I am suffering, I'm feeling like I'm the only one feeling that, I got to remind myself, no, there are other people that are out there hurting as well, to connect with that. And to get some kind of solace out of that, and realize that the people that have gone through this will have something to teach me, and I can learn from them. And that compassion that can be cultivated at the other end of this for other people is so very important. There's a story that comes out from a book titled, the book's titled The Boundless Heart. And she accounts a story of a neurologist who has a patient. He was cycling and got into a terrible accident in which he was completely paralyzed, could really only use his vocal cords, and the most was able to express anger, and was in a position where very difficult. And the neurologist was thinking like, you know, is it worth even going on for this person? What kind of life is this person going to have? And then one day the patient's sister came to visit him, and she brought her dog, you know, his dog, and the dog went up to him and was licking his hand. And the neurologist was able to see this patient be able to demonstrate joy. It could tell that this person became more relaxed and less angry and frustrated naturally over the condition he was in. And this neurologist realized that he was only seeing the pathology of the patient. And it wasn't until this experience happened that compassion entered into and saw the humanity in this person and really transcended the way that, you know, he perhaps was seeing the patient. But it was really the compassion that helped to unlock the key to seeing others in their suffering. And I find that perhaps compassion can be one of those things for the other person. And I'm talking about the other people, the people that we may see as different, but based on their political affiliations, that maybe we see different based on how they see the world, their views on race and gender and all these other cultural type differences of opinions that we have nowadays. Those people that maybe are in our day-to-day lives that just seem to push our buttons and annoy us and seem to always get under our skin. For them, I think, is the way to get through this division that is ultimately causing a lot of suffering that we have in the world. For me, what I really reach towards is really examining that a lot of the times that I find people that are acting out of anger or trying to offend other people or are complaining and blaming and gossiping are suffering. They're likely having a lot of fear. And from that fear comes anger. And from that anger comes perhaps even hatred and acting out in ways that certainly I don't approve of. And instead of allowing myself to be offended when I can, I go towards compassion and empathy and realizing that they're suffering. And this helps me to connect with them and to not return anger with anger, to not be offended, to not then myself go complain and blame and do all these other kind of things as well. and then to realize that we have more in common than we do different, and to really try and connect with them on whatever level that I can. That is something that's been really helping me out in terms of being able to really address some of the suffering that I see in the world and see people acting out on, and to really help, get rid of the narratives that I'm telling myself about how other people are in the world and the situation that it is. At the end of the day, people are just hurting, and we are hurting more than ever, I feel like. And I think perhaps is just the tip of the iceberg. And now that, we're at a moment where COVID is in a place where people are circulating more and connecting more face to face, we may be seeing more of this. I feel like, at least for myself, for the staff that are here at our center, filling our own buckets, taking care of ourselves, and doing that is more important than ever, so that we can have the resilience to be able to take on and encumber some of the suffering that others are going through in the world, so that we can be agents of alleviating the suffering that people are going through. More than ever, I really do feel like this is important. To that we be in service for one another. But we got to take care of ourselves, put our own oxygen mask on to be able to help others put their own oxygen mask on as well. Suffering is just, from my point of view, a part of the natural human condition, that it can be a pathway that leads us to living a better and more fulfilling life. Not the most fun way to get there at all, but perhaps is one of the most important ways that we do get there for ourselves, and as importantly, for others. So the dojo today might not have been the most pleasant to hear. Maybe I wasn't also the most articulate in what I wanted to say, but it's coming from a place of trying to reconcile this through myself. So anything that I'm saying here is as much for myself as it is for any of the listeners, as always. Whatever I'm bringing and saying is as much for me as it is anyone else that could be listening. And so what I wish for you all is to find peace and meaning through any kind of suffering or challenges that you're going through. And then through that, peace and stillness that you may be able to find in purpose, that you can share that with others. Because we're all needing each other nowadays more than ever. Unity through disability. And so my hope for everyone is that we can find that resilience, find that adaptability, find that versatility, so that we can all live the independent life, onward and upward.
Thanks for listening to the Independent Life podcast, brought to you by the Center for Independent Living of North Central Florida. If you like what you hear, please rate, review, and subscribe. And if you know anyone who might benefit from listening, share this podcast and invite them to subscribe too. For questions, suggestions, or if you have a story you'd like to share, please email us at cilncf.org@gmail.com or call us at 352-378-7474. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, support, advocate, and empower each other to live the independent life.